April the 27th, 2024. Nick and Madeline, welcome to the day of your wedding celebration. I'd like to go ahead and just get one thing out of the way right away. The beautiful woman that you heard giving us the first reading is my mom. And for several months, I've heard, Father Luke, it's so wonderful. That's what she sounds like. Father Luke, it's so wonderful that you're going to be able to marry your cousin. And so we're abundantly clear here. Nick, you're a great guy. You've got a wonderful personality. I have not come today to marry you. I have come today to witness your marriage. And I am thrilled to be invited to be able to celebrate with you. But you guys have a lot of people here who have come today to celebrate this beautiful occasion. And so Nick and Madeline, I'd like to begin today just by inviting you to stand up briefly, to stand up and to turn around and to look back at this motley crew. I'm not sure who all you invited to your wedding, but I invite you to look at names, to recall faces, maybe to look and to see some of your story, some of your past. Your parents, grandparents, cousins, friends, perhaps from high school, from prison. I'm not sure who you invited to your wedding today. You have much to be grateful for. And Nick and Madeline, I invite you to acknowledge that you literally have a lot of people here behind you as you enter into the celebration of marriage. So go ahead, drink it all up, take it all in, see those faces and names. I hope this brings gratitude to your hearts. And I'm gonna invite you to be seated as we acknowledge the one who is before you. In the first reading, we heard from the book of Genesis, God speak, and God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." And if you were situationally aware today, you might say, oh, I got the Catholic Church. All right, they don't know what they're talking about. There's only one God. And in the very beginning in Genesis, he's speaking as if he's multiple gods. Let us make man in our own image and likeness. And so, brothers and sisters, we hear from the opening salvo of the story of the Christian people that God is one, but God is a family. God is a communion of persons, a holy trinity. And so as he begins to speak, as the family of God, the communion of love begins to speak in Genesis, he speaks as one. Let us make man in our own image and likeness. And so in a very real sense, the most basic, if you will, building block in every human society throughout global history reflects the nature of who God is. God is not one, God is three in one. God is a perfect communion of love. He is a family. It is a communion, it is a family of love that has spoken creation into being. And it is a communion, a family of love that begins today. Family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, family. Forget about me, I love you. The nature of family is sacrificial love. This is not just like something that God is. This is literally what God is. God is sacrificial love. It is sacrificial love that spoke the universe into being. It is sacrificial love that is the foundation and the origin of every human being's story. It is familial love, sacrificial love, that is the beginning of our story as a human race. And it's so beautiful, Nick and Madeline, that you've chosen to convene this wedding celebration, not at a vineyard, not in an orchard somewhere, not on the beach. There are wonderful people that do that. But Nick and Madeline, I want to thank you for acknowledging the God who made you and for choosing to start the story of your own sacrificial love as a family unit that reflects his own image and likeness. Thank you for bringing us here into his presence and into his house today, that we might offer him the gift of our worship, thanking him and praising him for choosing to create us, for choosing to redeem us, and for choosing to win us and to raise us to the level of saints by virtue of showing us the way through life. And so it's so beautiful that you've invited this motley crew behind you. It's so beautiful that you've invited your cousin not to marry you, but to witness your marriage. But the most important guest at this wedding is a person who reveals his glory every time he is invited. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. If you've ever been to Cana in Galilee, I promise you will be underwhelmed. I was there and I was ready for, I don't know what I was ready to witness and to see, but it wasn't Cana in Galilee. Cana in Galilee is a very simple town in the middle of nowhere, Israel. And when I was in Cana, I found myself kind of asking the question, like, Jesus, why here? I mean, Bethlehem is cool, Nazareth is neat, Capernaum is really cool, Magdala's just down the road, Jerusalem's not far away. Why did you go here for the wedding at Cana? And Jesus' answer was very simple and very profound and very beautiful. Father Luke, that's where I was invited. I am a God who goes where he is invited. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to this wedding. Nick and Madeline, thank you for inviting Jesus. Thank you for inviting him many times in many ways throughout your story to be able to win you, to love you, to free you, and to heal you. Thank you for coming back to him again and again and again, that the story of your marriage begins today, not just as two persons, but as three. Today you invite the Son of the Living God, the warrior King of Israel, to come and to take up residence in your story and in your family that begins today. This God does amazing things in the lives of his friends who are willing to invite them, to invite him into their stuff. And it didn't take long for Jesus to realize that when he was invited into his friend's stuff, that they didn't have what it takes. They are running out of wine. They are running low on wine. And Nick and Madeline, they're probably going to be some times in the not too distant future when you might feel as if you are running out of wine. And so I'd like to invite you into just acknowledging with me the exchange that Jesus has with his mom. Mary goes to Jesus and says, "Son, kid, they're running out of wine." And Jesus looks at his mother and says, "Woman." Nick, Jesus can do that. No other guy can do that. We might look at Jesus and say, "Oh, wow, man, he's got a lot of attitude going on." No, woman, this is a title of endearment. This is Jesus showing us that he knows who his mother is, that she is the new Eve, the one through whom the antithesis, the remedy of what Eve brought into the world is coming. And so Jesus turns to the new Eve and he says, "Woman, how does this affect me? My hour has not yet come." And so this begs the question, friends of God, what was the hour for which he had come? Jesus is the only human being in history who lived his life backwards. Human beings are born to live. Jesus came into this world. Christmas happened so that God could sacrificially lay down his life for you and for me. What was the hour for which Jesus came? 3 o'clock on Good Friday. The hour of the victory of merciful love. The hour that sacrificial love won for all of eternity. And so Nick and Madeline, I would like to offer you the first gift that you receive as a married couple. And I'm going to offer you this crucifix. And I pray that you'll place it in a place within your home that you'll see it often. That you'll have the opportunity to be reminded again and again and again of who you invited on day one of your wedding. And of what he is capable of doing in places and in hearts in which he is invited. Nick and Madeline are going to offer us a really beautiful image embracing the hour for which Jesus came as they speak their I do's to each other and literally letting this image be the foundation of their marital vows. Okay, so we want to acknowledge the hour for which Jesus came. This is the hour that new wine is produced for the family of God. They're running out of wine. "Woman, how does this concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." The hour that new wine is given to the church is the hour that merciful love, that sacrificial love, wins. Sometimes we are tempted in the Christian life to look at Jesus hanging upon his cross and to think like, wow, this is the really sad image of a man whose innocent life was cut down in its prime. And Jesus reminds us, if that's how we see him and that's how we look at him, that we don't have him figured out. But praise God, he has us figured out. Because this image, the image of Jesus crucified, is not an image of defeat. This is an image of victory. This is not an image of weakness. This is an image of tremendous strength. Because you see, brothers and sisters, sacrificial love, the communion that God is not pathetic or wimpy. It is strong, it is faithful, and it freely chooses to lay its life down for its friends. And that's what we're about to witness on the day of this marriage. two individuals inviting Jesus into their story and choosing with him to lay down their lives for each other. That's praiseworthy and that's beautiful. And that's why all of us have come to celebrate and to honor the choice, Nick and Madeline, that you make to begin speaking the language of Jesus. This is my life and this is my body. And I lay it down and I give it up for you. There's a famous guy who said that a lot. And people who know that language and live in that wisdom daily become saints. And so the mission that begins today, Nick and Madeline, is to embrace the cross of Jesus, the hour for which he came, and to acknowledge that that hour is soon coming in your own life. Madeline, I've enjoyed getting to know you during this time of preparation for marriage, and I'm pretty sure that you're convinced that Nick is a really good guy, and he is, but, no, I'm kidding. Nick's a great guy, but he's human. And you're soon to find out that the person that you've chosen to marry is wonderful and is worthy of love, but he doesn't have it all figured out, and his life is messy from time to time. And Nick, I'm pretty sure that you already know that, at least in some little ways about Madeline, that she's beautiful, she's worthy of love. She doesn't have it all together, and that's not why you love her. You love her because you see the goodness and the beauty and the worthiness that is found in her. And so soon you will discover in your marriage that there are opportunities to embrace 3 o'clock. There will soon come moments in your life where you have the opportunity to choose whether or not to live in the wisdom of the cross, that mercy and victory in life is found when I give my life for other people, or the wisdom of the world, the wisdom that says the way to happiness and to life and to freedom is found through self-worship, not through self-gift. The second reading that you've so beautifully chosen today reminds us that we are not called to live as children of the world, but as children of God. Reject the wisdom of this present age and allow Jesus to make you beautiful witnesses to the life that is found when we choose the way of real love. We find and we live real love when we acknowledge him, when we choose to let him see us and love us and be invited again and again and again throughout our story into our stuff. And we allow Jesus to raise us to be witnesses to real love every moment of our life when we're invited to embrace his cross and to love him and to love our neighbor and our enemy. Sometimes they're the same person, as we strive to follow him faithfully. And so at Cana in Galilee, Jesus was invited. At Cana in Galilee, Jesus pointed the couple and the church's attention to the beauty of marital love. Marital love is not spoken through what can I have and what can I get. Marital love is revealed when we speak in a way that says, this is what I can give. Lay down my life for you. This beautiful exchange that Jesus has with Mary reminds her that this journey is going to lead to the cross. And your journey will also lead to the cross. But when we look at the cross, we do not see defeat. When we look at the cross, we see victory and the way to the kingdom of God. And so, Nick and Madeline, it is my joy to acknowledge and also to remind you that on April the 27th, 2024, you were invited to invite Jesus. You were invited to live underneath the wisdom of the cross. And you were invited to return to this altar again and again and again throughout your story to worship him, to receive him, because you don't have what it takes to live marriage without him. And so he comes to you on this day, and he desires to come to you every day of your marriage to give you his grace, his life, his freedom, and his healing, that you might day by day become witnesses to what real love has achieved, to what real love has won in this world. So my challenge to you every day of your marriage is to invite him to live underneath the wisdom of his cross, the wisdom that is revealed in sacrificial love, and to return to him often in prayer and every Sunday at Mass, that you might receive all of him that he and what he has won for you. If you're willing to invite him to live underneath the wisdom of his cross and to return here to the fount of life where new wine flows for the people of God daily, if you're willing to invite him to acknowledge the wisdom of his cross and to return here again and again and again, it is my promise to you that on April the 27th, 2074, the day that we will all be gathered to celebrate your 50th wedding anniversary, we will be able to look at you and to call you witnesses to love, because you have recognized that love is not a concept, he is a person. You've chosen to invite him again and again and again to live underneath the wisdom of his life and of his victory, and to allow that victory to change everything about who you are and how you live. Nick and Madeline, are you ready to become witnesses to love? Beautiful. Praise God. So at this time, I'll invite you to stand and come forwards with your wedding party.